Salut tout le monde, bienvenue à ce nouvel épisode du Faber-Cast. Je suis votre animateur Faber-Glass et puis cette semaine, on a trois invités sur le podcast. Le premier d'entre eux vient tout juste de faire son retour à la compétition au Prospect Fighting Championships le mois dernier et puis il a gagné. Il est maintenant de retour, il est dans le combat principal. C'est l'ancien champion 55 livres de TKO, TJ Laramie. On veut savoir qu'est-ce qui se passe avec lui, quelle est la suite des choses et comment il se sent après ce retour et cette très belle victoire. Ensuite, un autre combattant canadien. Enfin, on a trois combattants canadiens sur le podcast, là, c'est pas compliqué. Le second d'entre eux, il est peut-être connu au Québec parce qu'il a battu Alex Bollée et Joe Vallée récemment. C'est Aaron Jeffery et il est là pour nous parler de son combat au Contender Series où il va affronter Brandon Allen, de ce qu'il pense de cette opportunité-là et de comment les choses se déroulent pour lui. Finalement, on reçoit la combattante de l'UFC, toujours très excitante, Jillian Robertson. Elle est là cette semaine pour nous parler de son combat à Edmonton. Elle va être de la carte face à Sarah Frota et de voir qu'est-ce qu'elle travaille sur le side, elle qui est toujours très excitante avec son grappling et avec ses soumissions. On a hâte de voir ce qu'elle nous prépare pour ce combat-là. Donc voici le podcast cette semaine. TJ Laramie, Aaron Jeffery et Jillian Robertson. Bonne écoute. Salut tout le monde, je suis là cette semaine avec quelqu'un que vous aurez nécessairement reconnu parce que c'est l'ancien champion des TKO. Puis c'est non seulement l'ancien champion des TKO, mais c'est un combattant qui est de retour. He's back and he's back strong, man. It's TJ Laramie today on the podcast. How is it going, TJ?
It's good, man. Feeling good.
Yup. I must say, it's been a real pleasure to see you back in action a couple of weeks ago on the PFC card. But before we start to talk about that fight and the interview and all of that, I just wanted to give a big, big shout out to the Prospect Fighting Championships promotion. Because, man, the live stream was amazing. Like, on the internet, there was commentary. There was no lagging. It was clear HD. It's probably because we've been used to TKO and stuff in Quebec, so it's real, like, good quality of production. But I think that rivaled. Like, when I was looking at my iPad, I listened to the old card on the live stream on Facebook, and it was amazing. There was no glitch. There was no moments that I lost some action. So before we just start the interview, I just wanted to give a big shout out to the promotion, to Jamie Champion and everybody. It was like real good. It was my first experience watching that promotion and it was great. Everything came out cool and the fights were awesome too. So big shout outs to them. And that being said, big shout outs to you too, because you were in the main event. You were in your hometown, Windsor, Ontario. It was your big comeback. It was supposed to be on the BTC card, but you got injured, didn't work out. And finally, it happened on that night. I had to go through some changes and shit. We'll get to speak about that. But you just went there. You performed like we've seen TJ Laramie perform. And I just wanted to know, man, how does it feel now that you're back? You're back on the winning column and you were able to do all of that in front of your fans.
Man, you know, it's been a long 10 months of inactivity, a lot of up and downs, man, a lot of stuff, like more personal stuff than anything that have been going on, even with supposed to be fighting for BTC in March and getting injured and just having to reset and refocus. And like, you know what I mean? When so many things go wrong in a row, it's just kind of like, man, what the hell? It's like no matter what I'm doing, nothing's going right. Even for this camp, I was injured for a lot of the camp. So right after the BTC, I was supposed to fight on BTC. I broke my hand right after that too. So the beginning of the training camp for Prospect, I had I was recovering from a broken hand. And then throughout the camp, I had a bad chest injury and a back injury still. Like, it was just crazy. So I was like, but in my head, you know, I was just like, for once in my career, I was like, you know what? I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to recover a little bit. I'm not going to try to push through this injury because it could possibly get worse. And you know what? It paid off by like a little bit before fight week. I'd say a week and a half, 2 weeks before fight. My chest and back were feeling great to the point where I was like, in the fight, this is not going to affect me, you know? In the fight, that like I'm going to be able to push through this in the fight. It won't even be a thought in my mind. So literally for the last 4 or 5 weeks of the fight camp, I was just hitting pads and running to make weight, man. It was crazy. So that's why in the fight, in other interviews, I was like, I didn't really feel that great because I couldn't spar. I couldn't grapple. You know what I mean? Like, I was kind of like almost uncomfortable in there a little bit also because I wasn't in the cage for a long time. But because the training, you know, for me, I'm a guy where it's like confidence and preparation. You know, I get my confidence knowing that I've prepared properly, but I know I didn't get to prepare 100% for that fight the way I'd like to, you know, because I'm a bit of an overachiever when it comes to the training aspect. I'm someone who likes to put in more work than everybody else. Like that's where I get a lot of my confidence from. That's where I come out strong, and I feel like I edge people out, because naturally I might not be the most athletic guy, but I feel like I'm one of the hardest workers, so I feel like I make up for it in that aspect. But yeah, you know, that being said, with all that aside, you know, I was able to come through with a good win, a good performance, and it's just on to the next one now. I'm excited to stay in shape, and now that I'm not injured, I'm honestly where I feel 100%. My hand feels good, my chest, my back feel good. I'm more excited to train now after the fight. Now that the fight's done, I'm more excited to get back in the gym, because I can actually do everything again. I can actually like go in there and train 100%. I can go in there and grapple again, like finally grapple. I grappled 3 days in a row, and I just feel great, man. I got a big grappling tournament coming up in 2 weeks. So I got the Ontario Open. Hopefully win a trip to the Worlds and IBJJF Worlds. That's my goal there. I'm just like trying to keep the ball rolling as much as possible, whether it's a grappling tournament. I'd like to fight mid-August or so would be ideal for me. Just because, I like I said, I want to keep the ball rolling. I know PFC is back in London in September. So if I could do even mid-August, late September, you know what I mean? That's three fights, you know what I mean? I might have had a slow year up to now, but I don't plan on finishing the year like that. I plan on finishing the year up strong. Like I never left, you know? I want to get my name back in the mix. That was a good win. But for me, I feel like I have a lot more in me, 100%, because I can do that to elite opponents, you know what I mean? And that guy was an elite. You know, I'm not gonna pretend like he was an elite opponent. I'm not gonna pretend like he's something he wasn't. He wasn't an elite opponent, and I know I can do that to the elite guys too. My ground game and my MMA grappling is on a different level, man. These people don't understand, but they will. I'm back mentally. I'm more focused than I've been. I'm in a good place, and I'm just ready to get it, man. Ready. It's gonna be a good year.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if people in Ontario have seen it, but in Quebec, we've seen your grappling game, because you destroyed the Nogueira, who was a real good black belt, and that was times ago, too. So we know at your age, at the stage of your career, you guys are always getting better in the gym. So the TJ Laramie we've seen like a year or 2 years ago, it's not the same fighter as the TJ Laramie that we're seeing now and that we'll get to see in the future. But as you've been saying, it's been like a tough run for you, and man, I feel you on that, because every time I've been hearing like some TJ Laramie news for maybe the past 10 months before your last fight, it was never good news. Like starting with like the infamous video you took of your ex-girlfriend and the shit that happened with that. And after the injuries and all the stuff that happened that put you out of your BTC fight, and like you spoke about. So I'm just real glad for you that now you're getting the chance to be 100% and to train in the gym, because, man, I do grappling too, and just having a small injury that prevents you from doing stuff that you usually do, like in the training room, it's not cool, man. You don't get out of these training like satisfied of what you've done, because you get yourself put into some positions that you know that you can do something with that position, but now you're injured, so you can, or you can try and just like re-aggravate your injury, and that's shit you tried to not do. So like, I feel you on that one. It's just cool to be training and to be 100% and go and, yeah. Like, just feel yourself. Like, not feel like half of yourself or, like, a quarter of yourself. So, man, you've been speaking. You want to stay active, grappling, MMA. What's the plan next, like, promotion-wise? Are you looking, like, for only one fight deal, since you want to be real active? And most MMA promotions in Canada, they don't have monthly shows. They have maybe 3 or 4 shows a year. So what's the plan, like, promotion-wise?
Yeah, man, for me, I'm just looking for those one-fight deals, man. Like, I'm not really trying to, like, get locked down at any situation. I feel like I said, man, this is going to be a big year for me. And I feel like it's going to be, like, this is, like, the next chapter, you know? So I feel like this is the year where I'm going to run through the competition, man. And, you know what I mean? Like, fuck, there's promotions out there. I know bigger promotions, like you got LFA, stuff like that, that they do the one fight deals, and they don't lock people in too much. You got, I'm not sure, but you got the people more on the East Coast, like CFFC, CES, I don't know if CES is still a thing, But
yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, organizations like that, which are decently known, and they got some decent fighters out there, you know what I mean? Like, fuck, let's do a title fight with those guys, you know what I mean? Like, I'm ready to go. Like, I just want to stay active, and I just want to get to that next level now, you know? I don't want to look too far ahead. You know, we got some UFCs coming up in Canada, so, like, obviously I'd like to stay ready. I'd like to stay ready, for, like, fitness-wise and, like, be in shape for those, because we got one in August and September. We got, July. We got Edmonton in July, and then we got Vancouver in September. So those are both something I'd be interested in. Not so much the July one, honestly. If they probably called me short notice for July, I personally don't feel comfortable taking a fight like that, because just how I felt based on my last performance. You know, I'd like to be able to put in a full camp before I make a UFC debut, you know, even for short notice or not. Like, I'm only 21. I got time to say no. I got time to develop. I don't want to just go into the UFC just to say, oh, I made it to the UFC. No, I want to be a winning UFC fighter. I want to be a contender. I want to be a champion, you know? That's how I see it. So, like, hopefully this September, if September works out, if I get that fight in August, you know, it puts me at 10-3. I feel like that's a decent enough record to get into the UFC, you know? Hopefully in August I get a fight against someone who's, like, decently reputable, someone who might be considered another prospect or someone with a good record, something like that. And then and possibly hope for something in Vancouver, you know, you never know, right? For me, it was just like another thing that's interesting is that another guy that I lost to, but I really won, Vince Murdoch, just got signed to the UFC too. So literally within the last couple months, two guys that I beat got signed to the UFC, you know what I mean? So it just shows what level I'm at. And it's like, it wasn't two guys that I scraped by, it was two guys that I dominated the whole fight. So it was like, you know what I mean? It really shows where I'm at and where I should be, right? I'm only 21. I'm younger than both of them. And I'm still, you know what I mean, getting better. Like you said, like, I'm not even close to my peak. I had a rough year, and I'm coming back. That's it. You know what I mean? People just forgot. That's it. I took a break, but we're coming back for sure.
Yeah, I really like to look into prospects and MMA generally. I like to look at, like, fighters and see how many time does it take, like, before you stop seeing, like, major improvements, and the fighter kind of becomes like a finished product, a guy that you know that he's gonna come in and he's gonna do that stuff, and he has his process. Like, in a fight, he knows that, like, his striking is gonna lead maybe to his clinch fighting too, or any fighter does it different, but I like to look at those tendencies and look, like, usually how many years does it take for a fighter to become, like, a finished product, a guy that's ready to enter the best years of his career, to become a contender if he has to become one. And it's usually 6 years into his pro MMA career. So you're not there yet at all.
Yeah, I'm at four.
Exactly. So seeing what you're doing in 4 years and what you were doing 2 years ago after two years and a half of training and pro fighting, it's pretty crazy. So yes, it must be encouraging for you to see that, like, people you've defeated are being signed to the UFC. But it must be encouraging too to see that there's many, many cards in Canada, and to see what happened to guys like Cal Prebelec, for example. Best example, he's good. Everybody knows how good Cal Prebelec is, but he didn't have the best record, like, to enter the UFC. But just being there on a win and having, like, a contract that is flexible, that if you get called, you can go, that led him to the UFC. So same thing may be happening for you, because you can fill in at 145. You can even, like, there's many options on each of these cards. And now there are more and more Canadian fighters. They really are looking forward to going to Canada at least 3 times a year, every year.
Yeah.
So I think that's where promotions that give one fight contracts, like PFC, like BTC, and like the others you've been saying about in the United States, being like a CS or a Cage Fury or LFA or all these promotions. It's good because you just can go there, fight good competition, get your wins, and when something's happened in the UFC, you're free, man. There's no, like, there's no contract problem. You just gotta call the guy and say, "Sorry, bro, I've been called to the UFC," and he's like, "Dang, okay, good luck, my man." And like, so that's cool for you Canadian fighters. That's exciting for you Canadian fighters. I don't know if you feel the same.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, yeah, like, TKO was great to build a name in and to, like, develop my skills, you know what I mean? I feel like if you watch my TKO fights, you could literally see me mature throughout every fight. And then, right to where I am now. And it was cool to build my, like, I had to work my way through a promotion all the way from being a contender to being a champion and even losing my belt. You know what I mean? I was able to experience that whole, the whole highs and lows of being in an organization. And now, like, I don't really feel like that's something I need. You know what I mean? I've been in front of the lights. I've been a main event four times now in a row. I've been a main event four times. So, you know what I mean? I fought five rounds. I've been in five round fights three times. You know what I mean? Three title fights already at 21. So it's like the whole Jourdain fight, that was a whole five rounds. The Nogueira fight, I finished it in the fifth round. So it's like, I have the cage time. I have the experience. You know what I mean? For me, it was just a matter of working on the personal part, the life part. You know what I mean? Like, definitely being, I was like a young superstar. That's how I looked at it. You know what I mean? My whole goal mindset shifted to, okay, I have to act a certain way. I have to be a certain way. You know what I mean? It wasn't about the training anymore. And like within the last little bit, that's what shifted for me. So it's like, you know what I mean? Fighting it, being a champ in one of these organizations means nothing to me, because at the end of the day, the main goal is to get to the UFC. You know what I mean? Not to just get to the UFC, but to be a champion there. Being a champion in TKO, yeah, that's cool, but at the end of the day, what's it mean? It means nothing. It's in the big picture, it means zero, you know? So it's like, I don't mind fighting for these other promotions, one fight here, one fight there, because at the end of the day, UFC is going to look at my record, they're going to see wins, they're going to see who I've been fighting, and that's it. That's all they care about. They don't care about if I've been a champion here, if I've been a champion there. It's about winning, man. That's it. It's about winning and getting to that next level, because this is the beginning stage. This is not the, getting to the UFC isn't the end. Getting to the UFC is just the beginning of what I plan to do, you know? So that's what I mean by, like, that's why I'm going to stick to these little promotions, smaller promotions, maybe not so well-known fight pass promotions, whatever, right? Whatever it may be. I don't really care about being in the spotlight too much right now. I just want to win.
Yeah, and as you've been saying, I think like being a TKO champion is a big accomplishment. It's good for your record. It's good for your resume. There's no doubt about it. But when you get to the UFC, like almost every guy that you'll fight has been a champion. Like either in LFA or in any promotion around the world, in Brazil, in Europe, everybody has been champion everywhere. So as you've been saying, it's good accomplishment because it's a good promotion. It's probably the biggest one in Canada. It's probably like equivalent to being an LFA champ, which almost guarantees you like a UFC spot. But when you get there, everybody's a champ. So you got to beat these guys, and that's where it really counts. That's where you'll make the money. That's where you'll get the maybe the bonus checks. That's where you'll get the big sponsorships, even if you can't bring them to the cage. Being the UFC attracts your name to bigger brands, and like that's how you make your money, and that's how you live like from your dream. So I feel you on when you say that. Like at the stage, and you've been TKO champion, you can go back there and be two times TKO champion, but at that point, what would it change? Like you're 10-3,
nothing.
You're 10-3, and that's already a good record, but you're a real deceiving 10-3 because your loss to Murdoch, we all know what happened, and your first loss to Alex Morgan, we've all seen it too, man. It was questionable stoppage. There's no like, we all know why there was a rematch, and maybe the rematch is like your only real clean loss that you got on your record. Yeah. But that makes you like one of the most deceiving 10-3 we've seen, because two of your losses are basically like not losses.
Yeah, well, one of those losses is a win.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The Murdoch one is like, that's like shit. I can't even speak on how ridiculous it was that you lost that one.
But it's like, you know what I mean? The losing for the first time, for real, that was one of the biggest things. That was one of the things, you know what I mean? Like, that's where I had to rebuild, you know? Like, being out, finally losing once for real was like, you know what I mean? It changed me mentally. It changed everything about me, you know? Losing the belt, too, just the way people treat you, you know what I mean? Like, oh, like, how'd your last fight go? Oh, I got knocked out. Like, what, like, you know what I mean? Like, and people look at you different, man. People look at you different. People treat you different. People don't want to hang out with you as much. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have that, as I should say, like, what people say now is clout. Like, I don't have that clout anymore, right? And that's you totally see who's there for you and who isn't, right? So it's like, I even have people coming up to me like, oh, like, what happened? Like, you're not fighting for TKO anymore? As if, like, I downgraded or something. You know what I mean? I'm like, man, TKO is a small pond. That's not the goal, man. I'm trying to get to the ocean, bro. I'm trying to get to the UFC. That's all that matters. Fight, going to get my TKO belt back means fuck all. It means nothing in the end. You know what I mean? That don't mean shit. What I want is to just get to the UFC. It doesn't matter where I fight. I just need to fight and win. That's it. Whether it's in the, whether it was in TKO or whether it's somewhere else. But at the end of the day, I just need to fight and win, right? So that's it for me.
Yep, and let's just talk a little bit about, like, that last fight. When you learned that you were going to have to have a change of opponent, how did you learn this, and how, like, concerned were you that maybe that that fight was going to fall through?
Okay, so this was crazy. So I was like, I seen late, this was the night before weigh-ins. This is when I seen it. The night before weigh-ins, I texted my coach because I seen like someone post that I know, oh, is there anyone who could fill in for a late notice 145? Right there, I was like, oh. I was like, that could be my fight right there. You know what I mean? So I texted him. I'm like, what's up? Like, does this have anything to do with my fight? And then he called me and said, yeah, so change your plans or whatever. But we did find you someone, and he's going to be on a flight tonight. He's going to be on a flight tonight to get here. Got all his medical done, everything today. I'm like, all right, fuck. I'm like, send him out. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't really even asking names or nothing at that point. I was just like, I need to fight. That's it. There's no fucking way I can. I'm already halfway through my weight cut. I'm already probably at like 148. Like, I'm pretty much on weight almost at this point. And it's like, man, just send him out. I don't care. But, and then they said who he was, James Dunn, 2-2. He was on a 2-fight win streak at least. And he fought 3 weeks ago. So, you know what I mean? Like, he's coming off a little bit of a high in his career, even though he's only 2-2. So, but I was like, whatever, man. Like, it don't matter who the fuck I'm fighting. I just need to put on a show for these guys, like, in my hometown. Been hyping it up forever. And just for myself, I needed to fight. So that's basically what happened. And then, that's why, like, you know what I mean? Like, I've never been someone to fight someone who's, like, lesser than me. You know, I've always been searching for who's going to progress me. You know what I mean? If you look at my career, I've only fought one other person with, a 500 record, and that was in my pro debut. I fought a Japanese guy who was 12-12, but that's for my pro debut. You know what I mean? That was technically the worst guy I fought on paper. This guy would be number two. You know what I mean? Like, so that's kind of weird for me in my career. And it was almost more nervous for me because it puts more pressure on me. You know what I mean? You get clipped by a guy who's 2-2, you're fucked. You know what I mean? So that's what I mean. Like, I'm someone who typically rises to the occasion. I have good performances against good fighters. So when I heard all that, I was like, damn. And then, but whatever, it went through, and that's all that matters. I got a fight regardless. You know what I mean? So I can be a little bit mad that it wasn't to the caliber that I thought, but you know what I mean? It is what it is. I got to fight. I got to show up and perform. And, he wasn't too much. He wasn't anyone that concerned me really. Like, as far, the only thing I noticed when I watched one of his fights was like, he's durable. That's it. He can take a beating, right? So you know what? When someone can take a beating, you got to give it to him. That's it. That's the only game plan. So, but my original opponent was definitely more of a grappler, 100%. He was a pretty skilled grappler. So I was kind of preparing to keep it on the feet. And because, like, I wasn't able to grapple all camp. So I was preparing to kind of just sprawl and you throw my hands a little bit. But when that fell through, I looked this guy up, and he just seemed, like, not as skilled, right? He wasn't as developed as I was anywhere in the game. So when I took advantage of that, he was apparently a purple belt. Didn't really feel like it when I was on top of him, but I was able to pass his guard pretty easy and just, like, basically, like, I had the whole fight my way. And I kind of rushed a few submissions. But I got back on top right away, and then I worked, got to his back, flattened him out. And then once I get to people's backs, man, I'm pretty hard to get off, right? the whole Jordan fight, I was basically on his back. And that's just how it goes, man. So he unfortunately had to experience that. And then that's it, man. That was basically that whole situation.
Yep. And I think sometimes people, like, they try to, I'm not say discredit, but they put, like, less weight in a win like that than, like, a win against a big-name opponent and all of that. But I feel like we got to give you your props for a win like that, because, man, you fought an unknown on 24 hours notice, and you fucking went there, and you executed your game plan, you did what you do best, and you got away with that win. You almost, like, didn't get touched. You didn't. Nothing.
I took a low kick.
Yeah, nothing happened to you in that fight. So sometimes you just got to go out there and fight. And like you've been saying, after all these cancellations, those injuries, the times that you were supposed to fight in Windsor, it didn't happen on BTC. That card was kind of relying on you. So you just had to fight. You took the fight. You went there. You got the job done. And sometimes, man, you just got to give a fighter his props for taking fights like this where you feel like it's a no-win situation for him, because if he beats him, it's like, okay, TJ Laramie beat a no name. And if he loses, he's like, oh shit, TJ Laramie just lost two in a row and he just got defeated by a no name. So like you have to have the guts to go out there and just fucking fight, and that's what you did. So huge prop for this, my man. You saved the show. Everybody was there for you. Windsor was going crazy for these fights, and it delivered all the way. Even your brother was like amazing. We know Tony.
He's back too, man.
Yeah, we know Tony's real, real good, but that performance, man, was flawless too. It was amazing. Yeah. I'm so happy that he's back, because I don't really know like the exact nature of his injury, but the way it was told to us back in Quebec, it was pretty severe. So I'm just happy that he's there fighting and looking as good as we know he is.
Yeah, for sure, man. With him, it was like I've always said, man, I've honestly never trained with anybody as talented as him. He is the most 100% talented person I've ever trained with in my life. And it's just a matter of, like, for him too, it was more of a personal issue, whatever, you know what I mean? I'll let him tell that story if he wants. But for him, it was a personal issue on top of being injured too for a while. So he got his shit figured out, and obviously he showed up too. Look at that performance, man. He was like, barely even got touched, and then he finished the guy who was 6 inches taller with a head kick. You know, like, the guy's a beast, right? So you'll see a lot more of him in the future too. And just like you've seen his first, the way he came out in TKO, and it's another thing, you know what I mean? Two flawless wins, man. He beat Keith Lee, and then he destroyed Derek Falk, and then he had his little like run of upsets there. But you know what I mean? Like that's another example of someone experiencing the highest highs and then the lowest lows. You know what I mean? At a young age, he was only 19. That can get to you, you know, just like with anyone, man. Like my last loss, I let that loss get to me a little bit. And then I went through some other shit too. So it was just like, I was only 20, right? You know what I mean? Just being a couple of young kids, right? We're still trying to experience life on top of the fight game, you know. So we're both back and both feeling good for sure.
Yeah, man. Hey, I'm gonna let you go. I thank you very much for taking the time, man. And you're a real cool guy to follow, even if you're not in Quebec anymore. Whatever you'll be fighting, we'll be following. And I hope you keep us updated on like what's next whenever you got something planned. And we'll be covering that shit. We'll be waiting for you to get to the big show, because it's a matter of time. There's guys that you know that they're gonna get there, and you're one of them. So, man, thanks a lot, TJ Laramie, and keep on doing what you're doing, because you're doing it real good.
Thanks, man. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, see you, man. Bye.
Take it easy.
Hey, salut tout le monde. On est là cette semaine avec un invité très spécial parce que c'est un des meilleurs prospects canadiens. Puis il va avoir la chance de s'exprimer sur un plus gros stage dans pas long, et on parle de notre ami Aaron Jeffery. How are you doing, Aaron?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing real good. I was saying, man, you're one of Canada's brightest prospects since a while. You've been fighting on the local scene and BTC in Ontario, and we've seen you develop as a real good fighter. And now you're going to have the chance to show that to the world, show that on a bigger stage, because you'll be fighting on Dana White's Contender Series in July. And that's such a huge opportunity for you. So before we talk about like the fight, the matchup, I just wanted to know, how did this come about?
So after the last fight, we had a few options given to us. I could have went back to BTC and defended the title and had another fight local. There was an opportunity with CFFC as well. And then the dude I was supposed to fight for CFFC got signed to Contender Series. So I think my manager talked to a few people and he got me on the show too.
That's amazing, man. So you're going to be fighting there, and you're going to be fighting a tough guy too, a good matchup. Another guy that we've been, like, if you're following prospects in MMA, you've been knowing about Brandon Allen since a while. That guy's not been fighting that long, but he's had hella fights in that sequence. Yeah. So how do you feel about that matchup, man? How does this stack up against you?
Yeah, it's I like the matchup. I think it's a winnable fight for sure. I think he's good though. He's fought a lot of tough guys. He's had a lot of fights, like you said. I think it's a winnable matchup. That's why we took the fight.
Yup. Do you feel like this opportunity is somewhere that you're gonna have to fight like differently? Because I know you've got many styles. You can go and you can like grapple real well. You're a good striker too. We've seen you in fighting in different styles. Like you didn't fight the same way you fought Alex Bowley. And then you fought Joe Vallée. You didn't fight him the same way. So I was wondering, like, what kind of adjustments would you have to make to your style to fight on the Contender Series? Since we know that, like, he's looking for exciting fights. He's looking for people they're trying to finish. We've seen the first episode. So how do you approach like, that type of matchup style-wise?
Yeah, I think that's one of the strong suits of my game, I'd say, is that I'm pretty well-rounded, and I can fight in the different aspects of MMA. And I think the finishes kind of come naturally, right? Like, I think my style kind of wears guys out too, and the finishes come. So I'm not too focused on the finish, just fighting a good fight and getting the win.
Yep, and we've seen it on the Contender Series too, that people sometimes, they don't get the contract on that night. They win their fights and then, like, they go on, do their stuff, and boom, there's, like, a short notice call somewhere and they get the pick since they've been seen on the Contenders and, like, people, the matchmakers, they already know what that guy's about.
Yeah, for sure. Just watching, like, the last few UFC events, like, every event you see, like, at least a few guys from the Contender Series, so it's promising for sure.
Yeah, man, there are even people that are coming from the Contenders on losses sometimes.
Yeah, exactly, right? And, like, lots of people I hadn't even heard of. Like, sometimes you hear, like, who the prospects were from Contender, even if they didn't get signed. But I'm seeing tons of guys, like, in the UFC events that I had never even heard of that are getting their shots. So, it's a good opportunity.
Yup. So, Brandon Allen, what does that guy bring to the table? What is he going to do to you?
Yeah, he's good. I think he's kind of a pressure fighter too. He likes to push the pace. He throws pretty high volume in his striking. Pretty aggressive, gets a little bit wild. I think he's a pretty decent wrestler too. So, I think he's another well-rounded fighter, just like me.
You think that maybe more you're going to be able to get a knockout in that fight? Or you think, like, maybe the ground game is going to be the way that you're going to get it? I don't want you to, like, to come out here and spoil your game plan too. Don't tell me too much.
Man, it's a surprise. You'll have to tune in on July 16th and find out.
Yeah, man. For sure we're going to tune in because, shit, man. We've been, like I've been saying, we've been looking at you on the regional scene, on the BTC cards and stuff. And you look like a guy that can, like, build up to something in the UFC. Since you're well-rounded, you can finish guy, you can be real aggressive, but you can slow down the pace too and just go there and win your fights, win the rounds and do that. And I feel like maybe that's a style that sometimes doesn't fit best for the Contender Series, but in general in MMA, it's the style that you need, because we've seen guys from Canada go into the UFC and just not win the decisions. Like, you got to be able to get some decisions in the UFC, even if Dana says, oh, we want finishers, we want killers, that's important. But if you can't go out there and win on points sometimes, It's not good because there's people that you're not going to be able to finish in the UFC.
Absolutely, yeah. Tough competition. And like you said, you got to be able to win win in all areas. And I think I'm able to do that.
Yeah, of course. And I think your training helps you a lot in that because you've got good training partners. You're at Parabellum. Real good gym, and you're
really
training, and you're training with Elias a lot too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, that's a way to round out your game and see different looks. Because if there's one people in the world that can give you different looks, it's Elias.
Oh yeah, like he says, how can you know what he's doing when he doesn't even know what he's doing?
That's about it, man. How do you feel about what happened to him recently? Like he got released from the UFC, and I feel like. That kind of sucks, man. He was having a good record and shit. And
yeah, for sure. Yeah, it sucks. Like he's a buddy of mine too. So when I saw the news, I hadn't talked to him yet, and I was pretty bummed out for him before we spoke. But then after talking to him, he's such a positive guy, man. Like I've never seen him like upset or bummed out. And he's got a lot of big plans. So I'm happy for him. I know he'll come up with something good for himself.
For sure, man. So I know you guys, you don't like to look too much into the future because you still got to go on and fight in July. You got a tough guy in front of you and you're on the contender series. Everybody knows how it works. It's not guaranteed that you're going to get the contract. But let's assume like you get that contract and you're in the UFC. What's next, man, for Aaron Jeffrey? What's the plan? Do you got like... Would you like to fight in Vancouver? Would you like to? Are there things in your head that you'd like to do if you get that contract?
Yeah, I'd like to travel, man. I think that's kind of like part of the reason why I'm doing this too is like the life experience, right? Like, what a cool job to just travel the world and beat people up for a living. So if they want to put me on events that are like overseas or different places in the States or like East Coast, West Coast, Canada, whatever, I'd love that.
Have you traveled a lot yet?
As a fighter?
Yeah, well, or as
just
a,
in life?
Yeah, just
in life, yeah, quite a bit. My mom has been really good to me and my siblings growing up, and she's brought us to a lot of cool places. Like I've been to Europe a few times, South Africa, lots of places down south, all over the States. So yeah, I've been lucky.
And what was your favorite?
Favorite place to go? It's a good question. South Africa was really cool, probably like the most unique place I've been. We did a family trip to Austria a couple years ago. I'd say that might have been my favorite. Lots of good food there.
Yeah, for sure. And what's the place that you didn't go that you wish that you can go, but maybe as a fighter that time?
I'd say probably some more places in Europe would be cool. Maybe even Ireland. If he goes to Ireland, I think that'd be a cool place to check out.
Yeah, for sure. Because I know that I've been speaking to Canadian fighters, and like, I don't know why. Maybe it's a Khabib card, but everybody wants to fight in Abu Dhabi. And I was wondering, man, why people...
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, I feel like that's like kind of the place if you can go like Abu Dhabi, Dubai, these places, man. And you can get paid to go there since it's so expensive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man, and like the middle. Let's talk just about the middleweight division. I feel like, like it's one of the division that's going through changes right now in the UFC.
Yeah,
at the top, but in the middle of the division too. You've got like guys like Adesanya that are coming up, but in the middle of the division too. I feel like if you've been looking to the contender series and stuff like that last year, they signed lots and lots of middleweights. So how does it feel to be like maybe able to enter that division at that stage, at a stage where there's a lot of new faces, there's a lot of fresh blood, and there's a lot of people like which your type of experience like already there?
Yeah, it's exciting. I think, again, that kind of shows promise for me. I hopefully get my shot in the UFC because they are definitely looking for middleweights. Like when they flew me down to Vegas a month ago or so, to do the media and whatnot, so we got to see a bunch of the fighters that were on the show, and there's definitely a lot of middleweights, so you know they're trying to pump up that division a bit more, because it's been kind of shallow for a while. There's been like the top few guys that are having all the big fights, but then like not a whole lot of like big up and comers. So it's probably gonna change quite a bit over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I feel like the middleweight division before maybe a year or a year and a half ago, it was like mainly there was a top five. There were like incredible guys, the Rockholds, the Yoel Romeros, Whitakers. And then in the top 10, there was like older guys that we've seen, the Anderson Silvas, there was Lyoto. And then after that, there were like only like I don't want to say like jobbers because it's not cool, but like, let's say journeymen, like the Trevor Smiths of the world, and like people that we've been knowing because they've been there forever, but like never in a million year that Trevor Smith's gonna win a top 15 fight and get like into something in that division. And I feel like there was a lot of these people in that division, like the Chris Camozzis, there was Tom Watson, there were all these guys that they're real good, but they're not going places. And like, I feel like that's changing now, and it's becoming a real exciting place. Maybe like 135 a couple of years ago, where, like, when you went through that division, everybody was a new guy. Everybody was looking forward to get to the top of that division, and it gave us real good fights, too.
For sure. I think Rockhold and Weidman are both moving up in weight now, too.
Yep.
So that's like two of the top 10 guys gone, and then Yoel just won that huge settlement for millions of dollars, so who knows if he's coming back. So. Middleweight's like wide open right now.
Yeah, and Yoel can't make middleweight. I don't know why they're trying to still book him in middleweight fights, but I think he didn't make weight for like two or three of his last fights. So
yeah, he's a big boy.
Yeah, it's a scary guy, man. That like, if there's one real scary guy in MMA, I feel like it's Yoel. That guy is like, he's basically gonna do nothing to you until the time that he explodes and probably kills you.
Exactly.
It's a bad, and even at Adesanya, that must be like, when you're looking at that type of fighter, like, it must be exciting to look at, like, maybe three or four years ago when you're gonna be like a factor in that division, and he's probably still gonna be there, he's gonna be a top guy or the champion, and like, it must be exciting to prepare for a matchup like that on the long run, because man, that guy is special.
Absolutely, he is. Yeah, very good fighter.
Yep. So, man, I thank you for taking the time this morning. It was real cool. I'm gonna let you go, and we'll get to speak again. I really, really hope that you're gonna be able to get that contract, man. It would be awesome. Would be happy to have you in the UFC, because we need more Canadian guys to root for. I feel like they're signing in more and more guys, and I think you're one of the more deserving by far. So thank you for taking the time, and we'll be looking for it. We'll be covering it on the page, and good luck, my man.
Cool. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Bye. Salut tout le monde! On est présent avec une combattante de l'UFC aujourd'hui. C'est une Canadienne qui s'entraîne maintenant en Floride. Elle va être en action à l'UFC Edmonton. And it is Jillian Robertson. How are you doing, Jillian?
I'm doing great today. Hard training session this morning and always working hard and ready to fight. I can't wait.
Yeah, we can't wait either. We're excited this year. We've got like three cards in Canada, and that's cool for us because we get to see Canadian fighters like you and people that are just like training away from home, but now get the chance to come back and fight in front of their own fans. So before we talk about the fight in detail, how excited are you to be able to come back to Canada and fight in front of your people?
Oh, it's gonna be an amazing experience. I really can't wait. My last three fights have been in my opponent's hometowns, and they've been across the world for me. So to actually be in my own backyard, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And let me say, you've kind of been a surprise in that new division in the UFC. We've seen you on Tough. I'd say most people didn't expect much out of you, but you've been blazing since you've been in the UFC. You've been submitting people left and right, showing like real good jiu-jitsu and real exciting grappling to like not, because there's grappling fights that people don't like, because people, they're trying to like keep their positions and just like score points on the ground. You're not like that. If you're on top, you're going for the sub. If you're on bottom, you're going for the sub. You've kind of been like a discovery for many people in this division, and I think you've been a discovery for the UFC too, because they're putting you in good matchups. So what do you think about like the matchup that you're gonna have in Edmonton against Sarah Froda?
Oh, I feel like she's a perfect matchup for me. I feel like this is, like, my coach is talking to me about it. He's like, this is going to be that 50K fight. Like, we feel like I'm ready to dominate. dominate her in every area. I feel like I'll be able to get my takedown. I've been working a lot of ground and pound lately. That's probably my biggest, doubt from my last fight, is that I felt like it was just too much jujitsu. I wanted to use more ground and pound, be able to throw more strikes. So hopefully I'll be able to display that in this fight, and I'm super excited. I'm going to go out there and still do exactly what you said, always going for the submission. Look, I'm going to be hunting for the throat constantly.
Yep, and have you seen her first fight in the UFC? It was at 115, but she missed pound like 24 pounds, so I guess she's a flyweight. Do you think you're going to be bigger than her, or?
I looked at her height. She's the same height as me, so I feel like she only missed by 2 pounds last time, so she's probably around the same size as me. I feel like I'm generally a smaller flyweight, and I'm assuming she is too, so I feel like we'll probably be around the same size.
Do you feel like she's going to engage you on the ground, or she's going to try to keep it standing, or you feel like she's going to just try to do both?
I feel like she is more, she has decent jiu-jitsu. She's a black belt. She's finished a lot of girls by submission, and I feel like she's confident in her jiu-jitsu, but she's never fought anyone with jiu-jitsu like me. So I feel like she will be confident to go to her back. She might pull guard on me even, but that'll just be a problem for her.
Yeah, for sure. And I just hope you're not too scared with the face tattoos and stuff. She looked like real intimidating. I just hope it doesn't get to to your head. Well, I doubt it does, though. I doubt it.
No, of course not. It's like in the gym, I've went with guys who are like 170 pounds. And it's like, it doesn't matter who you are. I'm still going to try my hardest, go out there and try and do my thing and get to the throat.
Yeah, let's talk about the gym too, because you're from Canada, but you've relocated in Florida, where you've got good weather and stuff, but more importantly, you're at like one of, or if not the top gym in the world, ATT. You've got like many people, women, men close to your weight. Like, what's the difference for a fighter like you to be able to train at such a gym, such a... Sorry about that. Such a huge gym. I like the American top team.
Oh, it's insane the amount of training partners we have, and it's like the quality of training partners we have. When my parents live about an hour and a half north of here, and that's where I first started training at MMA, and I was the only girl at the gym, and just with, like, I was training with heavyweight guys who are amateur fighters, you know, like, I had nobody to train with. And then coming down here, I have 15, 20 girls on the mat all the time, and they're all high level in the UFC, so it's like, it's just insane the amount of talent we have on the mats every single day.
Yeah, for sure, it must make a good difference, because where were you training before?
I was training at American Top Team, but just a different, one of their smaller locations. Oh, yeah. When I first started, it was at Dean Thomas's gym, and he had an American Top Team in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and then I ended up just following him down here after.
Cool. So now you're at like the main gym. It's in Coconut Creek, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, cool. Now that's such a huge gym. So you've been in the U.S. for a long time now. You're almost American too.
Yeah, I've pretty much grown up in the United States, but my grandparents still live in Canada, so I still go back and visit them a lot. And I was born in Niagara Falls.
Ah, that's a cool region too. All Canadians go on holiday to Niagara Falls.
Exactly.
And you've kind of switched from the south of Canada to the south of the United States, because I think Niagara Falls probably like one of the most south point in Canada, right? So you just,
yeah, I believe so. Right next to New York, there.
Yeah. So you just switch from Canada to Florida, but you like it back there? I said, my dad's got a house in Florida. He's got a house in Fort Lauderdale. Like, we go sometimes, but not that often. But I feel like it's like a real different place, Florida. Like, oh, it's always cold, and people are real different. How do you like the... I know you've kind of grown there, but how do you like it back in Florida?
People are definitely real different there. But I feel like I love the weather. I love the heat. Today it's not like that. We're having like a thunderstorm outside, but most of the year it's like, I like to go visit the cold. I like to go visit the snow, but to live in it is different.
No, for sure, for sure. But man, I guess you can get used to it. I like winter sports. I play hockey. My family loves skiing too. So I wouldn't live without the winter, because when you're cold, okay, you can always get dressed up more and then one time be hot after you've got like real dressed up and real good. When you're in Florida and it's like freaking hot outside and you end up like in bathing suit or like, and you're still hot, man, you'll be hot. You'll just be hot and you'll have to suffer from this. In Canada, we're more used to the cold, so there's always ways to hide from the cold. Like, you just stay in your house, you put the heating on, you don't go outside. But shit, in Florida, I feel like, man, when it's hot out there and it must be hard on the ACs and stuff.
Oh yeah, it definitely gets bad. The second you walk outside, you're sweating. It's like you can't even put your seatbelt on in the car because it's too hot to touch.
Yeah, and there's fucking alligators everywhere. And man, that's the thing about Florida. I don't trust alligators. I just don't trust them. And maybe like listening to Joe Rogan doesn't help me, because like every like two or three podcasts, he ends up speaking about alligators and snakes and they're fighting in the Everglades. And so that makes me even more terrified. But I've seen like, I'll always remember that we went to Disney when we were young, but we had a VR. So we drove like a day and a half. It was 36 hours, something like that. Like real stupid, like from Montreal to Orlando, and
Oh, wow. And
I remember on the alligator alley, there was freaking alligators like taking some sun baths outside on the freaking highway. That freaked me out, man. So I'm kind of worried. I hope you didn't.
They leave you alone. They don't touch you. They're fine. Most alligators will run away from you more than anything. It's like in Florida, I feel like anybody I've talked to who's from outside of Florida has the exact same perspective as you. They're like, what do you do about the alligators? It's like, well, nothing really. They just kind of run away, or they don't really pay attention to you.
Yeah, I believe they'd run away from me. I'm close to a 200-pound man. The problem is, I think they try to snatch and eat my pug. And I wouldn't stand that. It's like my best friend. I love him so much. And I feel like it would be dangerous to have a pug in Florida, because like small dogs, man, they just might get eaten by freaking alligators, man.
No, I get that. I have a pit bull and he's my best friend, and I wouldn't want anything to happen to him, but I'm pretty sure an alligator would just run away.
Yeah, man, I saw he's on Instagram. I had to follow him. I love dogs so much. I just had to follow him. How old is he?
He's about 12 years old. I've had him for about 5 years now. I adopted him from the Humane Society, and he's the best dog I've ever had.
Yeah, for sure. You adopted it too. I adopted my pug too. He's younger though. He's 6, but we had him at 4. It's from we adopted him too, because like when people are moving and shit, they like just let their dogs go, and there's like so many dogs that need owners that we didn't feel like they need to get like a newborn. We can always like, we know a girl like real personally who has a place where when you abandon your dog, you just give it to her, and like she puts them back, nurses them back into health. She, because she's had dogs from like, I don't know how you really say this in English, but like manufacturers, like dogs that are they're in cages and they just produce kids.
And, yeah, like breeders.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So she had dogs from there, so she had to like re-educate them and spend money into like nursing them back to health. But when all that is done, she gives them for adoption, like for maybe $200-$300, and that's the way we got in contact with her, and that's how I got my dog, man. And I'm such a dog guy, so that's why I'm worried about alligators, man. I wouldn't bring my dog to Florida, like not even vacation.
No, I understand it. My dog's my best friend.
Yeah, man. There's alligators and there's the Florida man. Have you been like aware of that Florida man challenge stuff?
Yeah, I've seen that on social media, and always the headlines, the news headlines, just the crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like you, each and every day, you can find like one stupid shit that took place in Florida with people doing dumb stuff. So I guess that might be a fun place to live.
It might be a fun place. It keeps it interesting.
Yeah, but let's look to the future now. Because I know you guys, you're fighters. You don't want to look like way past, because you still got to fight in Edmonton, and nobody knows what's going to happen. But I feel like you feel that you're going to win that fight. So I want to know, like, what's next after that? Because you only lost once. You've been in great fights in the UFC. You finished all your fights. So if you get a win there, like, what's the next move for Jillian Robertson? Are you looking for, like, top 15 fighters? Are you looking for a place in the rankings?
That's a good question. I feel like after every fight I ask for something, I never get it. So, I'm like, after this last fight, I've asked for Macy Barber, I've asked for Paige VanZant, I've asked for Montana De La Rosa, and I ended up with Sarah Frota. So, one of those three girls would be an amazing matchup for me. I would love to be matched up against one of them. They're all ranked girls, and I feel like they would all be tough matchups, but winnable fights for me.
Yep, De La Rosa is fighting this weekend too, I believe. I was just looking at the card. I think she's fighting Andrea Lee. So you're not quite on the same timeline, but close to it.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely going to be up there soon enough. I feel like they're going to keep on seeing the submissions, keep on seeing the fast finishes, and they're not going to be able to deny me those fights. I'm going to be able to get the big names and be up in the top ranks soon enough.
Yep. And I know you like jiu-jitsu, of course, it shows. So I just wanted to know, is there like a move or one submission or anything that like you dream of like be able to put on in a fight? That's how I know I like darts chokes. When I roll, I do darts chokes. I do darts chokes as my go-to move. So it's kind of like the way I'd like to, if I had to someday fight a fight, I'd like to finish my fight with a dart stroke. Is there like a special move that, or maybe you've been practicing in the gym and that people don't know about, and like that you're dreaming that you could finish somebody with it, or just like a go-to move, something you like more than other stuff?
Well, today I actually posted a video on Instagram, if you saw that, of me doing a flying armbar, and I feel like that would be absolutely amazing to get. It's definitely something that's going to be tricky to pull off. Like, I've done it in a gi match before, but in a gi you have a lot more of the fabric to grab. It's just not as slippery. So maybe it'd be something I could pull off early in the fight, but that's definitely one of the dream things, because you know you're getting that 50K if you pull something off like that. But my go-to is definitely the rear naked choke. No matter what, I'm always going to find my way to the throat. It's just... that's all I work for. That's all I think about, is just going for the throat, attacking the throat, attacking the throat. So it's like I find my way there no matter what.
Yeah, of course. And choking people is fun too. Like, I do jiu-jitsu and I love arm bars. If I see an arm bar, I'm going to take it. If I see like a kimura, I'm going to take it. But there's nothing more satisfying than like choking the shit out of somebody, man. Like, it asserts your dominance.
Actually, whenever I fought my last fight before I got into the UFC, I fought Hannah Cyphers, and I had her in an armbar for like 3 or 4 minutes, probably. Like, I was sitting there trying to break it as hard as I could, and she did not tap. So then that's when I was like, all right, I'm gonna stop attacking the arm, I'm gonna go for the throat, because girls are just flexible, they're strong-headed. Like, after the fight, Hannah was in a sling because her arm hurt, but she wasn't going to tap from it. Like, she was too tough, and so I'm like, I had to go for the choke, because if you don't tap from the choke, then you're going out. Like, there's no way to, like, you can't not tap from a choke.
Yeah, exactly. You can't be too tough for a choke. You're going to go to sleep, and that's how...
Exactly.
Yeah, but, man, that was cool. Thank you for taking the time. And I'll let you go. I'll let you go and do your stuff. And I thank you very much for taking the time. It was great. And man, I wish that you get your flying armbar. I wish that you get your bonus. I don't know yet if I'm going to be there, because I'm from Montreal. Edmonton is a real long way. But if I'm not there, I will do something on my page, like special for this card, because it's in Canada. And there's going to be a lot of people that we're going to be cheering for. And that includes you. So thank you, Jillian. And have a nice end to your camp. And man, good luck.
Thank you for having me.
That was cool. We'll speak again. Bye.
Bye.
Voilà, c'était l'épisode. J'espère que vous avez apprécié. J'ai oublié de le mentionner au début, mais je pense que c'est la première fois ou une des premières fois qu'on a plusieurs invités et puis que c'est tout en anglais. épisode complètement anglophone. J'espère que vous avez apprécié quand même mes collègues francophones. Je le sais que c'est pas tout le monde d'entre vous qui parle bien l'anglais. Et puis si j'avais le temps, je prendrais vraiment le temps de vous mettre des sous-titres sur ces entrevues-là. Mais écoutez, dans un épisode qui est tout en anglais, ça veut dire qu'il faut que je retranscrive manuellement chaque mot qui s'est dit dans cet épisode-là. Puis avec le site internet et tout que je viens de lancer, je vous le cacherai pas, j'ai pas le temps. J'ai à peine le temps de faire d'autres choses que mettre des choses sur le site internet puis sur la page, d'aller travailler dans mon autre job qui me rapporte de l'argent dans la vie et puis d'aller rouler au jiu-jitsu brésilien. C'est vraiment les trois seuls estides d'affaires que je fais dans la vie. C'est littéralement rendu un travail à temps plein pour moi que de rouler cette page-là, puis je fais pas encore d'argent avec ça. Donc, j'ai pas les moyens de payer quelqu'un pour faire la traduction, mais le jour que je vais pouvoir faire de l'argent avec ça et que je vais pouvoir payer des gens pour travailler pour moi, assurez-vous que la première personne que je vais engager est quelqu'un qui va traduire les épisodes et mes vidéos, d'ailleurs, en anglais et en français. Comme ça, il va toujours avoir des sous-titres. Mais pour l'instant, je peux pas y arriver, je fais pas d'argent avec ça, donc je sais pas, ben partagez mes affaires, arrangez-vous qu'on soit plein sur la cache, que je puisse monétiser cette affaire-là un jour, et puis vous allez avoir vos sous-titres et vous allez pouvoir écouter les épisodes en anglais avec des sous-titres en français et l'inverse aussi. Donc merci à TJ Laramie, thanks a lot my man for taking the time to come and speak with us today. It was real good and we look forward to seeing you back in action soon enough. Thanks a lot too to Aaron Jeffery, we'll be rooting for you on the Contender Series, and we really hope that you'll be able to get that UFC contract that you clearly deserve. So, good luck to you, my man. And finally, thanks a lot to Jillian Robertson. It was lots of fun to speak with you, and we hope you'll be able to pull off a flying armbar or stuff like that in your fight in Edmonton, which we'll be following close enough. So, thanks a lot for taking the time. Et puis, c'est ça, c'était le Fabercast. Suivez-les sur leurs médias sociaux. Suivez-moi sur les miens, Facebook, MMA Talk, YouTube, MMA Talk, Instagram, DTHE, MMA Talk, Twitter, DTHE, -MMA Talk, et finalement, et le plus important, MMATalk.ca. Allez visiter le site, cliquez sur les articles, laissez des commentaires, partagez les articles sur ces médias sociaux. Faut qu'on ait du monde sur ce site-là. On a déjà, mais on en veut plus. Je mets beaucoup de temps là-dedans. Encouragez-moi, s'il vous plaît, ça serait bien gentil de votre part. Et puis, on se voit la semaine prochaine avec un autre Fabercast, avec seulement qu'un invité cette fois-là. Je suis pas mal convaincu. Ben, j'ai plusieurs entrevues de fait, en fait. Tout va dépendre du timing d'une autre affaire que je vous mentionnerai pas trop, sinon vous allez savoir de quoi je parle. Mais bref, de très bons Fabercasts à venir dans les prochaines semaines.